Psalm 45 verse 7, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, even your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Now that's quoted in Hebrews 1:9 about the Lord Jesus. So he was exalted above any of us, above all angels, which seems to be the context in Hebrews, certainly above any of us, because he loved righteousness and hated wickedness. And you'll notice how God, even your God, is applied to him. It's certainly a very difficult verse for any Trinitarian theology to cope with, that God the Father is the God of the Lord Jesus. But my point is that the Jesus who died for sinners, the Jesus who loved people more, I suppose, than anybody else has ever done, hated wickedness more than anyone else has ever done. So I suppose you could draw the conclusion from that, that he, of all people, drew this distinction between sin and the sinner more than anybody has done. Because he loved people, he loved sinners, and he died for us. He is truly the sinner's friend, and yet he hated wickedness more than anyone else. So I think this is a challenge to us, is it not? Because we all seem to blur those boundaries. We don't like a certain behaviour, and therefore we don't like the behaviour. We fail to see that actually the human being has got potential beyond that irritating or sinful behaviour which we see from them. And you need to think about why we actually have that problem of not seeing that difference, that we don't like this particular sin, that person does it, therefore I don't like them, rather than I don't like what you're doing, but I love you. It is to see, therefore, that a person is not defined by their sin. I'll repeat that. A person is therefore not defined by their sin. But that is absolutely how people tend to judge, isn't it? They look at what somebody's done, maybe someone's put in prison because they did something absolutely awful, and everyone's like, what an awful person, what a terrible person. Actually, you go and do prison ministry and meet some of those people who've done undoubtedly awful things. You do see that all the same, they are a person, and actually they can be, in many ways, a very nice person, a person with great potential spiritually. Now, Jesus saw that difference because, as I say, he of all people made this huge difference between the sin and the sinner. And as I say, he does not define us by our sin. Whereas when you look at people's reaction to sinners or sinful behaviour that has been put in the media or whatever has been uncovered, people just hate that individual. And that is why there's a lot of call for death penalties and things like that, to sort of take out and vent your anger on that individual. Whereas God is not like that. He does see that difference. And that is what he saw in you and me, because we likewise are sinners who ought to die. But he separated the sin from the sinner and loved us. This is the great truth, that God commended his love to us in that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. So, positively, you loved righteousness. Now, if you truly love God, you will not be a minimalist. You will not see a set of commands that I must obey and thereby tick boxes. You will love righteousness. You will positively want to be like him. And it is that love of righteousness which is in fact what eternity is going to be about. Because we shall spend eternity doing righteousness and enjoying it on the highest possible level of experience and joy because we love righteousness. And now is the time in this life when we come to love righteousness. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And yet he hates the sin. As I say, this is programmatic for us. And I think also of what Paul says in Romans 7, where he laments how, although he loves righteousness, he continues sinning, and he sees no way that he's going to end his life perfect. And he says, I do that which I hate, and yet, with my mind, I love the law of God. And I wondered if he has this passage in mind, that we are to hate sin, to hate the sin that we do, to hate our actions. Now, he says in Romans 8, following straight on from Romans 7, that we are to crucify the flesh. We are to crucify the flesh, and we are to obey the Spirit. And yet that doesn't mean that you will not sin, because Romans 7 is saying that, you know, whenever I want to do good, I find evil present with me, and I do that which I hate. But the point is, because you love righteousness and hate wickedness, that is the basis of our salvation. Not that we so love righteousness that I never do wickedness. That doesn't quite follow. It did in the case of the Lord Jesus. But in reality, in Romans 7, Paul seems to be saying that that is not how I am. And we read what he says there and we think, yes, that is how it is, sadly, in reality, on the ground level. And you think of the first and second chapters of 1 John, where John seems to say the same, that he's writing to us so that we might know that whenever anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he says, if anyone says, I do not sin, then he is a liar. But then chapter 2, that whoever is truly born again does not continue in sin. Doesn't mean that you shall not sin. You will sin, and if you say that you don't, then you are a liar, he says. So we will continue, unfortunately, in failure. That is the reality on the ground. Whether, you know, that is justifiable or legitimate is not the issue. Sure, every sin is inexcusable. It's not that we are set up to sin and have no option, not at all. But the reality is that we will continue. And yet, the point is that we are to hate wickedness. I do, Paul says, that which I hate, because we love righteousness.